Luke chapter number 10 this evening. We'll be looking at a familiar passage of Scripture. In fact, one that no doubt many of us have heard preached over the years, perhaps many times. In fact, I was commenting to Holly this afternoon about the passage and the message that I'd be preaching this evening that I think in 14 years plus, 14 and a half almost, I think I've only ever preached from this passage one time. I've heard many people preach on the passage, visiting missionaries, evangelists, and so on and so forth. But throughout this week, God just really burdened my heart from this passage of Scripture. And I believe tonight that I do not need to remind you that we live busy lives. Would you agree? You say, Pastor, I don't need that reminder. I am well aware of the fact that my life is busy. In fact, our region is one of the busiest places in America to live. It really is. And I've had many people that have traveled here. I've had evangelists, and I've had missionaries, and I've had family members, and I've had friends that have traveled to this D.C. region, and they've said, I could never live here. I would have no interest in living in such a busy, fast-paced environment. We live in a busy place. We do. We're driving home from the wedding last night and got rerouted because wonderful 495 is always under construction, and the time on the GPS is just going to keep increasing and increasing and increasing, and so we got rerouted through D.C., and it's almost, I don't know, close to 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, where are all of these people going? Why? Do you ever feel like, why are they, like, I should be the only one driving right now? Because I want to get somewhere and they're impeding my progress. Have you ever felt that way? We get a little selfish, don't we? Like, why are they out? It was insane. I mean, just bumper to bumper, cars on top of cars, and literally cars on top of cars. I mean, it was crazy. We live in a busy place. We live busy lives. And we find that as we look at our schedules, there are times in which maybe we would come to the conclusion that I have more things to do than I have time to do them. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, just the list doesn't seem to get any shorter. It seems like you're adding things to the list before you can take things off of the list. Brother Jim Moore, he was here for our missions conference this year, he and his wife, Jim and Bonnie, and they flew to Germany. They flew to Germany on Wednesday, and we took them to the airport, and Brother Moore was commenting to me that Miss Bonnie gave him a list of three things that she wanted to have done before they left for their trip. And he said this, as I'm driving him to the airport, he says, and you know, Brother Chris, you know what happened? There are about five more things added to that list that had to get done, and the original three are still not done. And it reminded me, that's sometimes how we live life, just busy. There's assignments that are due, there's meetings to go to, there's tasks to be accomplished, and we are forced to prioritize our schedules, otherwise we would simply be overwhelmed. There were days while I worked in the corporate world, and I've shared this with some of you personally and privately, that my daily schedule would have 6 to 7 hours worth of meetings. How do you get anything done? Honestly, it's terrible. Sometimes we get into that frame of living and just being busy. I would say this tonight on the onset of reading the passage of Scripture, there is a danger in busyness that we must acknowledge and then must guard against. The passage is familiar. In verse 38 of Luke 10, the Bible says this, "Now it came to pass as they went that he," that's Jesus, "entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, and I believe the tone that Jesus spoke to her in verse 41 was a tone of compassion. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Verse 42, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I would submit to you this evening, just by way of introduction, that Martha and Mary knew who Jesus was. It was no secret to them that who showed up at their home on this particular occasion. In fact, if you read the Gospel of John, you understand that Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they were well acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when Lazarus fell sick and they sent word to the Master, they simply said this, "He whom thou lovest is sick." We find that when Mary and Martha saw Martha being first, that Jesus was coming to the place where they were, that she has this perception, and I believe rightly so, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not die. You know, that reveals to us a measure about what she believed to be true about the person and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. She believed that he could have prevented the death of her brother. Mary utters the same exact words, knowing and revealing to us that they no doubt had been in some measure of conversation. Martha knew who Jesus was. This was not a situation that we read at the end of the Gospel of Luke where there are some disciples on the Emmaus Road. In fact, we just sang about that in our song, Yesterday, Today, and Forever. And those disciples on the Emmaus Road, when Jesus comes and after the resurrection and begins to walk with them, they don't know who he is at the moment, right? And they invite him. He was going to keep on going, but they invite him into the house, and he comes into the house, and when he broke bread, is that what the Bible says? We need to turn, their eyes were open. And they said this, "Did not our heart burn within us while he spoke with us along the way?" See, this is a different situation. Martha knew. She was aware of the fact that when Jesus came, as it says here in verse 38, that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. This evening I want to preach a message that I've simply entitled, Too Busy for Jesus. Too Busy for Jesus. And before you turn me off this evening, I want to let you know tonight that all of us can get to a place where we're too busy for Jesus. I don't think any one of us would ever say it. I don't think any one of us would stand up and say, I am too busy for Jesus. There are times, and I was actually speaking with Holly about a song, and the songwriter said that I'm filled with his work, but not with his word. Sometimes we can get so busy serving, which is good, but we forget who we're serving. We forget the importance of spending time with him. Amen? And so don't turn me off this evening. I hope that the message will be a help to you just as it's been to me. And just three observations from the text of Scripture. Again, a familiar passage, but I want you to notice, number one, Martha received him. Martha received him. Notice what the Bible tells us in verse 38. The Bible says that Jesus, he came, and as he traveled often and would go from village to village, it says that he came and he entered into a certain village, and it says this, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. I appreciate the fact that God tells us that Martha received him into her house. I'm thankful for this important decision that Martha made. Actually, I believe tonight that if this decision of Martha to receive Jesus into her home was not made, we would not have the account. Amen? The only reason that we read verse 39, 40, and 41, and 42 is because of the decision in verse 38. that Martha received him. Now, I want you to consider with me this evening the significance of this simple phrase at the end of verse 38 when the Bible says that Martha received him into her house. I want you to, in your sanctified imagination this evening, I want you to picture the setting, if you will. I don't know that there was any announcement leading up to the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ on this particular day. We understand that the communication capabilities were lacking in comparison to what we have today. Amen? And we can communicate with people from far distances away and let them know that we're en route and let them know our expected arrival time, et cetera, et cetera. And we find that she received him into her house. I want you to think about the home and the setting, and I want you to consider with me the fact that Martha was willing to receive and Jesus comes in. What an opportunity. Jesus is God. Amen. He is God in flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, according to John 1 and verse number 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God or is God. And we understand this evening that Jesus is God. And we find this evening that God Himself is in the home. This is amazing to me. I mean, what an opportunity as Martha would receive Jesus Christ into her home. And we find that not only did Martha receive him, but as we look at the text and we look at verse 40 and verse 41, we find that number two, Martha served him. Can I tell you this evening that it's absolutely true that we are to serve the Master? We have been saved to serve. Often you've heard it been said. And it's true. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit has given to every believer as He wills a spiritual gift. And we understand that we are to serve Him. We are to be doing good works, not so that we can be saved, not so that we can stay saved, but because we are saved by the grace of God, we are to be serving the Master. And by the way, I'd rather be a servant of righteousness than a servant of sin. And before you got saved and before I got saved, we were servants of sin. But now, because of the change and because of the grace of God, we have the opportunity to serve the Lord. What a privilege. And Martha had received him, and now Martha is serving him. Again, in my sanctified imagination, and this evening, I want you to, in your mind, you can see Martha running all over and trying to ensure that everything is just as it should be. Have you ever hosted a guest? You get so busy sometimes about all the details. You know what I'm saying? You got all these things going on. You want to make sure everything's right in place and everything's like it should be. And serving is necessary and it's what we should be doing, but we must guard against being cumbered. The idea of the word cumbered means to be overoccupied or to be too busy. The Bible says this in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. I think it was obviously part of her personality. And she's doing and she's serving and she's running here and there and she's doing all of these things. And as she's serving, she even pauses for a moment to go to the Lord and to say to the Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? I mean, she takes the moment to pause in all of her busyness to go to Jesus and say, don't you care that she's left me alone? Why don't you bid her therefore that she help me? Isn't that interesting? And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, full of care. That's what it means. The word careful here doesn't carry with it the idea that you're carefully placing something with care. No, it's full of care. And we find that he says that thou art careful and troubled about many things. We find this evening that Martha served him, and again, serving the Lord is necessary. But we find that she was cumbered about much serving. There are times in our lives that we must remember who we are serving and not get so caught up in the fact that we're just serving. Today's October 26th, and in about a month, we'll have Thanksgiving. And another month past that, we'll have Christmas. Tradition for us as Americans is oftentimes we gather together, families. And we understand that there are some that have some sorrow during holidays, and you want to be careful of that, understanding various aspects. But we recognize that it's oftentimes that families will gather during the holidays. You know, it's interesting to me that as I began to think about this text of Scripture, I began to even think about some family gatherings that I've had the opportunity to be part of and I'm thankful for. But there are times in which you gather together and you have this time together and someone's running around doing all this busy stuff. And they forgot the person. They forgot the relationship. They forgot the fact that those things, yes, I want them to be done, but I want to spend time with you, with the relationship. See, Holly sent me this text a few weeks, probably a couple months ago at this point. The only person that's going to remember, in 20 years, the only person that's going to remember that you worked overtime are your kids. Right? And we begin to think sometimes we can get so busy to make sure all these things are. And spiritually speaking, Martha, she's cumbered. She's too busy. She's in this place where she's over-occupied herself with all the things that need to be done. And again, we find that the account is given to us first because she received him. And then she served him. But I want you to notice in the text of Scripture that God gives us a very important truth, and it's the third point of our message this evening. Mary heard him. Martha received him. The Bible tells us in verse 38 that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She received him. She served him. But Mary, the Bible tells us, heard him. In verse 39, the Bible says this, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I think about the maniac of Gadara that was delivered from those demons that possessed him. And the Bible tells us that he was sitting, he was clothed. He was sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. What a beautiful picture that God gives us. And I understand sometimes, and if you have a personality like mine, I like to be busy. I don't like downtime. I don't like that sort of thing. But sometimes we need to, as Jesus says to the disciples, come apart. You understand what I'm saying? And we find here that there are times in which we just need to sit at the feet of Jesus and just hear his word, and let his word minister to us. Let his word help us. We don't know the content of the message that Jesus spoke at this particular time. The Bible doesn't record it for us. In fact, as you study the Gospels, you'll find many times that the Bible doesn't record the entirety of the messages as Jesus would teach and preach, and the full messages are not captured for us in the Scriptures many times, but we find that Jesus was teaching. He's the master teacher. He's God. No one spoke like this man. He speaks as one that has authority. Because he does. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He has all authority. And when he speaks, we ought to listen. The book of Proverbs uses terminologies about incline thine ear, bow down thine ear. And sometimes when you read those words and those images, and I often think of us having that type of a response or that type of a perspective when we're hearing God's word. We find that as she's sitting there at the feet of Jesus, And as she's hearing the word, that Martha interrupts whatever it is that's being taught, whatever it is that Jesus is saying, because she comes in and she interrupts, as we read a moment ago in verse number 40, when she says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And the message, the lesson, was interrupted by Martha at that moment, and Jesus turns his attention to Martha. We've read verse 41, but I want to draw your attention to what he says in verse 42. He told her that she was cumbered, she was careful, she was troubled about, notice what the Bible says at the end of verse 41, many things. And then Jesus says this in verse 42, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know what Jesus said? I'm not going to tell her to come help you. Right? Is that what he said? He didn't say in those words. But in essence, the message that he gives Martha in response to her inquiry and to her request of, don't you care that she's left me to serve alone? Bid her to help me. And Jesus doesn't say no. Jesus teaches a lesson to Martha. And in teaching Martha the lesson, not only would Martha receive life-changing truth, but I believe that the Lord has chosen to include this record of this, I don't even know how long of a visit it was, in the Holy Scriptures to be a lesson for every child of God. One thing is needful. Many things. She's careful, she's troubled about many things. Can I tell you this evening that there are many things that pull us in all kinds of directions? There are many things that want to find their way on your calendar and on mine. Amen? Many things. But one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Does it mean that we don't do any of those other things? It doesn't mean that. Here's a thought. Martha's serving. Mary's hearing. I, Martha, you, I am better equipped to serve him after I have heard him. I am better equipped, you are better equipped to serve him after you have heard him. Does that make sense tonight? Listen, there's a lot of things I can do. There's a lot of things you can do. But we must not forfeit our time with God. We must not neglect our time with God. But there's an assignment due. There's this pressure that's going on. There's this, no. Your time with God is so absolutely vital. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. We need God. I would submit to you this evening that we need more time with God, not less time with God. I believe tonight that some of the statistics that we see throughout our society dealing with the amount of time that people spend in church, the amount of time that people that are professing Christians spend reading the Bible and in prayer, I believe that we're living in a day and an age where we have anemic Christians. We're just weak. Why? Because the strength comes by sitting at the feet of Jesus. The power comes through spending time with Jesus. That's where it comes. You think about those guys in Acts chapter number 4 when they're standing and they're being interrogated after they'd been imprisoned, and Peter is called into question and begins to answer and to give a great proclamation about the truth that there's this man, he's not made whole by our own power, but by the power of the in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And after he professed and proclaimed that powerful truth that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, that those religious leaders that heard and they were aware of the boldness of Peter and his answer, they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But they'd been with Jesus. And it made a difference because they'd been with Jesus. You cannot... I cannot substitute anything for time with Jesus. Ronnie, I'm going to pick on him for a minute. He told me, Pastor, I bought this book, and I bought it yesterday, and it has nothing to do with the Bible, but I want you to read it. It's about health and wellness and blah, blah, blah. I want you to read it, Pastor. And I said, I got so many books on my reading list right now. I'm like 2 years deep in getting through the books on my reading list, honestly. I mean, I read books, but I picked up a book last week to read it, and I started reading the book, and I'm like, this is not my cup of tea. Have you ever read a book like that? You're like, man, it was just labor to get through a chapter and a half. And you know how many times I've picked it up since then? A big fat zero. It's still sitting next to my chair in my house, and I'm probably not going to pick it back up and read it. It's not my cup of tea. But then I have other books that are on my list that I'm going to read. Here's what I told Ronnie. I told him this morning. I said, Ronnie, how about you read the book and give me the summary? Isn't that a great idea? You can't do that with the Bible. You can't do that with the Bible. You can't fake it. You're either sitting at the feet of Jesus or you're not. Amen? And Jesus said to Martha, 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 you're careful, you're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. I want you to consider with me this evening that God Himself was sitting, if I can use it this way tonight, in the living room. And she was too busy for Jesus. Am I telling you the truth? God Himself was sitting in the living room. I understand they didn't have houses like we do, but just let me use the illustration. You can preach next week. Not really. And she was too busy for Jesus. Can I tell you this evening? In a real sense, God is sitting in your living room and in my living room every day. Every day. And He's just waiting for us to spend time with Him. He's not going to make you. He's not going to force you. But He wants you to. He wants to have fellowship with you. And He just sits there. I understand you can't see Him. I understand you can't see Him. But He is omnipresent. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Are those all Bible truths? Sometimes we get up and we get so busy. We got so many things going on. We're hustling and we're bustling. And we run right through the living room to go do what we got to do. And don't even notice that Jesus is sitting there. And wants to spend time with us. Martha, she's cumbered about. She's received Him. Thank God that she received Him. She served Him. We ought to serve Him. But we got to hear Him. We got to hear Him. You have to, I have to put time on our schedules. And I'm not saying it that way to say that we're scheduling time with God in a negative way. But if you don't purpose to do it, it's not going to happen. How many of you think you should go to the gym more frequently than you do? You know why I don't go to the gym? Because I don't purpose to do it. I let other things fill up my schedule. I'm just being honest with you. I actually enjoy working out. And when I do it, I enjoy it. But I very easily let other things. But you know, there are some people that are committed to the gym. And they won't let anything interfere with their gym schedule. There's some people like that. Not me, but there are some people like that. That's how we ought to be with our time with God. No, nothing's going to interfere with my time with God. Because one thing is needful. I'm better equipped to serve Him after I've heard Him. How do we hear Him today? Mary literally sat at His feet. Physically, she sat at His feet. According to verse number 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. How do we hear Him today? Daily Bible reading? Hear the voice of God when you read your Bible? Aren't you thankful that God speaks to you through His word? The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. His word is precious. His word is powerful. It's profitable. You say, I don't understand. Slow down. Ask the Holy Spirit, who is the author of Scripture, to teach you. Hear His voice. How do we hear Him? Church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. We have church services. Why do we have four church services a week? Well, in the New Testament, they met daily. And Hebrews says that we ought to, not forsaking the assembling of the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. It says this, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's a lot of churches today that are having less church. It's just a thing going on in our world. It just is what it is. They're having less church. I think we need more church. Why? Because we need to hear the voice of God. Why is the church in America anemic? Well, maybe because we're canceling church on Sunday night, and we're canceling church on Wednesday night, and we're not having church. But you know why so many are canceling church? They're not canceling church because hundreds of people are showing up. Because if hundreds of people were showing up, they'd have church. Am I right? You know why they're canceling church? Because people aren't showing up. Why aren't they showing up? Because they're too busy for Jesus. I know that sounds hard, but it's just the truth. We get too busy with all these things going on. And unfortunately, like Martha, we can get too busy. We fail to enjoy His presence. But we must determine that we're going to enjoy His presence, that we're going to choose that one thing that is needful. I said this a few years ago. If you're too busy for Jesus, you're too busy. Because without Him, you can do nothing. Listen, aren't you thankful? I'm so thankful tonight that God never has told me and He never is going to tell me I'm too busy for you. Aren't you happy for that? Aren't you thankful for that? But sometimes we just get too busy for Jesus. Let me look at Isaiah 58 with you and we'll close here. Isaiah 58. Tonight, I believe the Lord put this on my heart because, as I said by way of introduction, there's a danger in busyness that we must acknowledge and guard against. Your schedule will fill up quickly. It really will. In Isaiah 58, I wish I had time to read all 14 verses, but I don't. In the text, we find that God is correcting because of the sins. It says, cry aloud in verse number 1, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they. Thou seest not, wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressor go free, and that ye break every yoke? We find that as God is going to correct them and give them truth, he says at the end of verse number 12, that thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And then notice what he says in verse 13. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. But he says this, notice this phrase, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Do you see that in the midst of verse number 13? See, the Sabbath is not a law for us to hold today, but there are lessons for us to learn from it. We meet on the first day because from the grave he arose, amen? And what a blessing that we serve a risen Savior. But notice in verse number 13, he says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, and he uses this phrase, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. By the way, in the Old Testament, some of these guys that run around saying they're Seventh-day Adventist and they can justify doing this, that, and the other thing on the Sabbath, if they really followed the Old Testament, they'd be put to death. It's just the way it is. And there were some really strict guidelines to what could be and could not be done on the Sabbath. Now, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He says that many times in the Gospels, and I'm thankful for that. But we find that he says that you're doing thy pleasure on my holy day. He says in verse number 13, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Again, what's God saying? You need to turn away from the way that you're treating the Sabbath and treat it the right way. And here's what I find. You know what's happened in America? You know what's happened to the Lord's Day? It's become a day of pleasure. How many of you are older than 60? Yeah, I'm not trying to pick on you if you're older than 60, but do you remember when there were blue laws? Yes. Do you remember when things were closed on Sunday?
Yes. And Wednesday afternoon.
Okay, so you remember. Sunday's become a day of pleasure. It has become a day of pleasure. And you know what? You know what's being affected the greatest? God's people. God's people. You know why? Because we're getting pulled. We're getting pulled because the Lord's Day has become a day of pleasure. You might not like it. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just telling you the truth. It has become a day of pleasure. I'm 45 years old, but when I grew up in North Carolina, there were no sports on Sunday as young people that you could participate in. Zero. We put Joseph in baseball as a little kid. It was his favorite sport. Guess when they started playing games? Absolutely. Sunday. How many years did you play baseball? Two? Maybe? Sorry. It's the Lord's Day. I'm not saying any of this to be unkind. I'm just simply saying we must be aware of and guard against. Because one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And we find that in the Old Testament, God says to the nation here in Isaiah 58, you've made the Sabbath a day of pleasure. And in America, America has made the Lord's Day a day of pleasure. It's a day of pleasure. It just really is. And we got to be careful as God's people to understand the danger and to guard against. Why? Because we can get too busy running here and running there and doing this. I'm not just talking about the Lord's Day. I'm talking we can get too busy every day. But oh, how we need to be so careful. Martha. I don't see in the tone of Jesus that he's rebuking and he's angry. Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. This evening, I hope that none of us would be guilty of being too busy for Jesus. I said at the beginning, I don't think any one of us would stand up and say, I'm too busy for Jesus. But if the Holy Spirit convicts us, there's a proper response to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And there's some times in which we need to alter some things. We need to change some things. We need to put some guards in place and say, you know what? Enough. Enough. Don't be like Martha. Yes, she received him, she served him, those are honorable things. But don't get cumbered, too busy for Jesus. God himself was sitting in her home, and she was too busy for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. I'm thankful that you love us and that you allow us to spend time with you. I pray tonight that you would help us to respond. Thank you for working in my heart as I prepared and even as I delivered this message. I pray that you'd have your will and way, that we would respond in obedience. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand?